Well, again, happy Father's Day. You know, Dad, you have a very important part in your family's spiritual growth. You are the gatekeepers to your home, and you are the guards against the wicked influences of this world. And God has given you a very important job. And so I hope that through our time today that you will see the importance of applying these things from God's Word to our own lives. Please open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're looking at this both in our Sunday school as well as in this series of Sunday morning preaching. But as we have seen from verses 22 to 24, Paul explains that there is a daily strategy that God expects of us if we desire to see the goal of the church accomplished in verses 13 to 16. God says this is how it's got to work and this is what you need to do. He says, beginning in verse 22, he says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So every day we're to put off the old man, and we are to have our minds renewed in the Word of God, and we are to put on the new man. That's something we need to be doing all the time if we want to achieve the goal that God has for our church. And then in verse 25, right through to the end of the chapter, Paul gives us examples, many of them negative examples, of how to achieve this. You may recall in verse 25, Paul exhorts us, for the sake of the body, that we are to be truthful. We are to be honest. We are to put away lying and put on truth. And, of course, the inference there is that they have been putting on lying. And so they need to put off that, and they need to replace that with a life of truth. Well, last time we looked at verse 26, where Paul said, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Anger can be a motivator for good. We saw that last time. If it's controlled, but if it is not controlled, if it's not properly dealt with, then it leads to bitterness. It leads to division. It leads to other kinds of sin within the body. The anger displayed during a day, he says, should be dealt with in the same day. You get angry, you sin, deal with it that day. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Deal with it that day. The longer the sin that is associated with anger goes undealt with, the greater the effects, the negative effects are going to be in your own life, in those that surround you, and then, of course, even in the church. Your sin affects the effectiveness of our church. And so we need to be concerned about that. Sin-less anger promotes the goal that we see in verses 13 to 16. But sinful anger hinders it. Now, in verse 27, Paul says this. He says, neither give place to the devil. Now, certainly this command is referring to what he just said in verse 26, but I believe that it can refer to all of the negatives that he's talking about in this chapter and really in all of the epistles that he writes. But it can, when we cater, folks, to the old man, when we cater to the deceitful lust, when we lie, when we get angry and sin, when we walk like the pagan society that we live in, you know what we're doing? We're giving place to the devil. That's what the devil would do. That's what the devil wants you to do. Now, let's look at that just a little more closely. That word give means to grant someone the opportunity to do something, right? It's something that you knowingly and oftentimes willingly do, right? He's saying but he adds the negative neither. So he's saying stop doing that. These are Christians. Christians can do these things, you know. And I think that's something we need to understand. We can do this and displease the Lord by giving place to the devil. The idea here is that there is something going on that needs to stop being done. And you have the power to keep that from happening. You know, there are many areas in our country, you've probably been there, that if you don't want to keep, if you don't want your car to be stolen, you got to lock it up. Right? I mean, there's just places like that in, around. You have to lock it up. You have to put an alarm on it. And even in some places, that's not even much of a help. But there are some neighborhoods where if you're going to live there, you have to have bars on your windows. Have you ever driven through neighborhoods like that? Yeah. I mean, to the people that live there, it's nothing. Right? That's just common. That's what they do every single day. Those are necessary precautions because of the dangers that surround those people. We feel sorry for a child who had his bike stolen because he didn't lock it up. But if that same child had four bicycles stolen because he didn't lock it up, we'd probably think a little differently, right? I mean, some would say, well, you were foolish enough to not lock it. You deserve it. But, I mean, if you were going to be kind about it, you would have to acknowledge that the child probably still would have had his bikes if he had followed the precautions. If he had just locked it up, right? If he had taken the step to secure his bike. Now, folks, in essence, we give place to thieves when we don't lock up our bikes. We open up the door for them to do their dirty work. The word translated place here was used to refer to a territory, a land, a defined area. Have you ever heard anybody say, stand your ground? Have you ever heard of the stand your ground laws? Yeah, the stand your ground laws are actually in like 36 of our states. And these are laws that give citizens of those particular states the right to defend themselves, even with deadly force, if they feel threatened in their homes. We might call this, verse 27, the give no place law. For Christians, the devil in that scenario is the criminal. Don't give the devil any ground. Don't give the devil any ground in your life. You need to spiritually defend your place, right? That God has given to you against the devil's influence. Our individual place is what? It's our life, our walk, our family, our lives, right? It's all that God has given to us, and we need to protect that. When my wife and I have folks over, one of the things that we have to do is to get an accurate count of everybody that shows up. Why? So that I have a place for them, right? So they have a place for them to come and sit. And, of course, sometimes what that means is to be creative, to ensure that everybody has a place, but you have to think about ensuring you have the place for the people you want to be there. But listen, folks, we're kind of cautious about just letting anybody come in. Have you ever heard of Pedro Lopez? Pedro Lopez is noted for this as being the most prestigious, he's called. And actually, he's called one of the... prestigious isn't the word. But anyway, the most notorious serial killer in the world. And he's out of prison now, in case you wanted to know. But nobody knows where he is. All right? Guess who I'm not asking over for dinner? I'm just now. You know why? Why wouldn't you ask him over? Because there's a risk. Don't give place to Pedro Lopez, who has killed over 300 people. Right? 300 people. Oh, I didn't mention it. Yeah, 300 people. It's the most, I can't think of the word. What's it, when you do, when you write a lot of books, what do you call it? You are prolific. That's the word. He is noted as the most prolific serial killer. 300 people. He's still alive. Somewhere, they think. But anyway, don't invite him to dinner. Don't give place to somebody like that. And we would say, wow, that's a no-brainer. Right. Nobody's going to give place for a guy like that. Yet, oftentimes Christians will give place to the motivator of a Pedro Lopez, to the one that urges him and moves him, electrifies him to do his wickedness. Isn't it amazing to you that Paul has to say, don't give place to the devil? Don't set a place in your home for the devil. Dad, you gotta be the gatekeepers in your home. Don't let him get in your house. Don't let him get in your life. Listen, in setting the table of your heart, don't provide a place for the devil to sit in it. Don't let him gain any spiritual ground. I'm telling you right now, he's trying, even as we speak. Even as I speak. Even as you listen. He is trying to gain spiritual ground in every aspect of your life. He wants to defeat you. Right? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he wants to defeat you. Just know that. And the only way he can is if you let him. If you give him a place. That's all he's looking for. You know, in the 17th century, China began building something to protect it against attack. What do they call that? The Great Wall. The Great Wall measures about 5,500 miles from east to west. And it varies in height and thickness, but it goes anywhere from 16 to 26 feet tall, and in some places between 16 and 20 feet wide. And of course, they built that to protect themselves from attack. It's a deterrent to attack. That's where battles were fought, folks. Right? It wasn't fought on their land. It was fought at the wall. It was fought because China wasn't giving place to their enemies at all. So they built a wall to protect them from that. Folks, Paul is saying, do what you need to do to ensure that the devil doesn't gain any ground in your life. Put up the walls. I'm telling you, walls are necessary. Walls in your life are necessary to protect you from the wickedness of the devil. Put up those walls. Keep the devil's influences at bay. Folks, he is very subtle. And he does have wisdom. Wisdom of the world. He is the father of it. He is very subtle. Well, how do you build walls? Well, as believers, we build walls by using God's word. God's word tells us what we need to do. And that's why we need to be students of the word of God. If we are not going to give place to the devil, we have got to know what God's word says how. And so we need to be students of the word of God. But we take a passage like 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, where we're commanded to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Listen, we don't give place to the devil when we withhold our affections from the world. Do you know the world is vying for your affection? The world wants you to love it, to show your affection to it. The world system has a contrary view to the Bible. The world wants to destroy Christianity. The devil wants to thwart all of God's activity on the earth. The devil can't hurt God. So he attacks his word. He attacks his people. If he can get us to compromise, then he has won a battle. But the world system is contrary on everything that the Bible teaches. And folks, we just can't let it get ground in our lives. And as I said, it's so subtle. The world has a view and a philosophy on our worship even. Right? The world thinks worship is different than what we're doing today. And they have a different view on what unity is and marriage and how to discipline children and the kind of music that we ought to listen to. On modesty, on drinking, on entertainment. And a great multitude of Christians have been breaking down those walls of protection. And we have to look at it like this, folks. Sometimes we look at standards as burdens. We look at rules, biblical rules, as burdens when they are actually protections. Protections against our own flesh. And sometimes Christians are even inviting the devil to take some ground. Why? Because it's a compromise. We want to be able to enjoy some of the things of the world, so we're willing to let down our walls to enjoy some of it And that's compromise. Love not the world. Build walls to protect yourselves from it. Paul also tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. When you maintain an appearance of evil, guess what you've done? You've given place to the devil, right? You're reflecting more of him than you are of Christ. Now that word appearance in that verse means that which can even be construed as, right? When somebody looks at a particular appearance and they can construe it as something that's evil, that's what he's talking about. He says we're supposed to put that off. And again, that is a wall of protection. Abstain or refrain from all things that could be construed as things that are evil. Listen, the lost world ought never to look upon a Christian and be able to look at their behavior, their appearance or whatever, and to say, that's evil. That's evil. Because we're supposed to reflect the goodness of Christ. And when we don't, we're giving place to the devil. Because the devil doesn't want that. That's how the devil works. For me, all right, in my opinion, that means I don't go to package stores to pick up a newspaper. I just don't. Why? Because people could construe something. Right? You know how it is. They put the newspaper in a brown paper bag. Right? And there I am walking out with my newspaper in my brown paper bag. And immediately people are going to think, oh, he must have got a newspaper. No, that's not what they think. Right? So that's me. That's me thinking, you know what? That's a wall of protection. What am I protecting? My testimony. Christ's testimony. All right? So that's what I do. You know what that also means? It means that I don't even get off the exits at the casino. I don't even get off the exits at the casino. I don't want anybody, you know, and I joke this way, but I know what would happen. The moment I get off that exit, that would be the photo op day that they're taking pictures of people that are going into the casino. Right? And I don't want my face associated with that. Amen. In a positive way. Amen. So those are just walls that I put up. Why? To try to abstain from the appearance of evil, not to make myself look good, but to maintain Christ's testimony in my life. All right? I don't believe Christ would go to the casino except to evangelize. Right? And he would do it in a powerful way. And he would be kicked off. Right? That there's no doubt. But Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, to abstain also from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And he reiterates the daily fight that we have. Right? We're fighting against this flesh. Our flesh is saying, come on, come on, come on. Have you ever had one of your children just keep asking you for something? That's how your flesh is. Come on, come on, let's go, come on, come on, come on, can we go yet? And we have to constantly put that aside. It wars against our soul. I put up walls to protect my family. From the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. When my older boys were living in our home, we never went to public beaches. That's us. We just never went to public beaches. Why? Because we were holier than thou? No. I was trying to protect them. I was trying to protect them from the sin that easily besets them. I wasn't trying to make myself look like a standard. I was trying to protect our family. My kids, growing up, never had unsupervised access to a television or to a computer. Did they ever look at it when I wasn't around? I'm sure. But that wasn't allowed. I monitored their telephone usage. I don't know if anybody gets newspapers anymore, but I quit getting a newspaper. We don't get any kind of magazines into our home that are worldly magazines. There are books I won't allow in my home. And we never went to the movies. Right? That's me. What was I trying to do? I wasn't trying to set forth a spiritual persona. I was just trying to protect my family. Because that's what dads do. We're to protect our families from the devil trying to get in. And listen, he'll use any possible way that he can to get in. I've used this illustration before. When I went overseas, I had to go through firefighting training down in Norfolk, Virginia. And I think I mentioned that one of the trainers that they used was called the USS Buttercup. Anybody been on the Buttercup? Kip, did you go to the Buttercup? It was really cool. It was like a section of a ship, right? A section of a ship that was in a giant pool. It was in a giant pool. And you went on the ship, and they taught you how to patch holes, how to shore doors. And they did all this, right? It's all lighted and everything. And you got in there, and you bent down. You put the wood in. You hammered it in. And you're sealing everything. You're wrapping the hoses and tightening it up and figuring out how to do it. So then you're done. You get to the top of this little thing, this trainer, and then they said, "You guys ready? Try to do it again. We're going to turn water on." And I said, "Oh yeah, no problem. Right? We just did it. This is going to be great." Right? So we're all up there. Young guys are excited about this stuff. And so the guy takes a sledgehammer, he lifts it up, and he hits the top of the deck. Boom! And all the lights go out. I mean, it's pitch black. And water is spraying everywhere. And they said, "Okay, go to it." We had to run back down inside of the ship. And it's sinking. I'm not kidding. It's sinking. And so this thing is starting to go down. And so, you know, we've got this gear on. We've got these lights. You know what's more confusing than lights that are on consistently? Is when you've got 10 guys with lights that are going, you know, all over like that. And so everybody is trying to figure out how to do this. And water is spraying everywhere. And you know that the nice pile of wood that was there to shore up the doors, they float. And the water is going up higher and higher. And we're trying to hold. You know, you put one piece down, you go to get another, and it pops up. And so my point is this, is that there was water coming in from everywhere. The pipes. The doors, there was, and it took, it sunk, we failed, right? It was coming in so fast, and they wanted us to. They wanted us to really grasp the just the stress and you know, having the wherewithal to be able to do something under that kind of circumstance. They really wanted us to. But my point is this, that's how the devil is, folks, and we have to understand that's what he's trying to do. He's coming from every point that he possibly can to try to infiltrate your lives. He's looking for a place. He's looking for you to willingly set a place for him. And he'll use every possible angle. That's why we have to walk circumspectly, the Bible says. Because he is everywhere trying to sneak up behind us. He'll use your phone, your television. He'll use your attitudes toward other people. He'll use all of these things to try to get his foot in. And here, Paul is saying, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. And so it takes us wanting to do it right. And one of the reasons that we do these things too, we set up these walls, is because I know my own heart. Right? You have to be honest with yourselves. You know your own heart. I experienced, as many of you did, firsthand growing up, the effects of giving place to the devil in our home. I saw it in my family. They had given place to the devil. I saw it. And I know my propensity. I know my own weakness in those areas. And the only way I can overcome it is by the power of God, but by setting up protections to not let him in, because he is vile. I know my own weakness. And you know what, folks? I'm not a lot different than a lot of other people. We all have weaknesses, right? We all have these weaknesses. We all need these walls of protection, or we will succumb to the devil's advances. Folks, the devil can't take your ground against your will. He can't. You have to give a little bit of it in hopes of gaining something, usually for your flesh. He can never come to dinner uninvited. He just can't. You've got to set a place for him to gain ground. And Paul says, don't do it. Or if you're doing it, stop it. Don't do it anymore. Facebook has been an interesting thing in our lives. My wife has a Facebook account. I didn't have one for the longest time. And probably most of you have a Facebook account. If not, I don't think you're missing anything. But I like it. I like it. I see what my kids put up. And really, it's been kind of cool. We've recontacted with people that we were saved with years ago that we lost contact with. And so that's been kind of interesting. But, of course, there are things that are very disturbing that pop up on Facebook. But, you know, it's not just the crude, worldly things that people put up there. Some of the things that have been really disturbing for me are Christians that promote or post, they might as well say, here's how I'm giving place to the devil today. And I think, you know, if you're going to post that, please don't put it in the same sentence as you're saved, as a Christian, as if this is what Christians do, right? And I'm talking things that I think that pretty much all of us here, even if you're unsaved, might say, that's probably not something Christians ought to do. But what's happening now, folks, is that in hopes of expanding our comfort zones, we break down these walls. And many of the biblical walls that I have erected for the protection and growth of my family, that we even have built to protect ourselves as a church and promote the goal of Ephesians chapter 4, all of those things are under attack by the world today. They have always been under attack by the world. But now the attacks are coming from other Christians. Some are very subtle. Some are very undermining. Others are not so subtle. And some people are very vocal about it. And it's sad. And it really affects the credibility of anybody that calls themselves a Christian. Right? I mean, we're lumped in with all the wackos that call themselves Christians. Right? That are doing all kinds of anti-biblical stuff. We're lumped right in. Oh yeah, Christians, they're all crazy. There is a world-loving generation of Christians that will actually stand against what they consider our archaic biblical values. Oh, that's just for the first century. There are those that will say, you know what, worship is a very individual thing, personal thing. And you don't even have to come to church to worship, right? All of these kinds of philosophies have really seeped into the church. You know what that is? The devil. The devil doesn't want you to worship God in spirit and in truth. The devil doesn't want you to use your gifts in the body locally. He wants you to do it from your chair or your couch, right? Worship services and church programs are geared to pleasing worshipers now instead of the one worthy of being worshipped. I can't help it, folks. When I see a pastor come in on a choo-choo train, right? Or I see a pastor that's coming in hanging from a ceiling, I can't help but think they're giving place to the devil, right? They just want to provide entertainment. And I'm telling you, people will go back to that. People will invite people to come back. Oh, you got to see my pastor. We have no idea how he's coming in next week. But you're going to have to come and check this out. Where's the focus? On him and on the entertainment there. Where is worship in something like that? Nobody's even thinking about God. True. They're thinking about what's coming next. Right. How they can be entertained. Worship services are just times of entertainment. Biblical modesty is cast aside, folks, by many Christians as just being puritanical, being old-fashioned. Many of Christians, men and women, are more concerned about being stylish than they are about presenting a godly appearance. That's the devil. The biblical disciplining of children has come under attack. There are different facets of grace-based parenting where people say, oh, you should never, ever biblically discipline your children. They should never, ever be spanked. Parents who spank biblically are viewed as barbaric, abusive. I can't believe the number of Christians I've seen on Facebook that are just promoting these values. I was on there recently, and really I'm not on there a whole lot. But there was this Christian, and nobody from around here, but this Christian woman was promoting, I guess there's a new movie, a new version of, I don't know what they call it, The Hunger Games. And when I saw her promoting it, I thought, you know, what in the world is this? It's really not anything that any Christian should ever watch. It really isn't. And they were promoting this. It was a, I think it's a, this one was a PG-13. Folks, there are PG-13, TV-14, rated television shows. And that's the world saying, this isn't appropriate for children under 13. This isn't appropriate. The world saying this. Folks, anything that's not appropriate for children under 13 shouldn't be appropriate for you. It's not going to be good for your spiritual growth. I'm telling you. That's what we're talking about. In the context of the chapter, we're talking about a church conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. These are the things we ought not to do so as not to hinder that. Don't give place to the devil. The devil controls the world. He's the prince of the power of the air. There are just things that are inappropriate for Christians who are trying to grow spiritually and protect themselves from satanic advances. Why would a Christian promote such things? Why would a Christian encourage other Christians to do this? The same person was telling me telling the world that they were posting as they were standing in line for this movie. They were standing in line for this movie. And folks, you know what has happened with Christianity? We've become desensitized to the things that offend God. We've become desensitized to these things. Does the Bible say thou shalt not go to Hunger Games? No, it doesn't. But wisdom, folks, tells you that something that the world produces that has such an awful theme to it is not going to promote your spiritual growth. It's not going to, when you come out of there, guess what? You're not going to be a better Christian because of it. You're not going to, through that movie, you're not going to be saying hallelujah. Praise God for that. Amen. You're not going to be doing any of that, right? You're going to be dealing with your fleshly lust in something like that. It's just not profitable. Folks, what we need to ask ourselves, have we lost ground in our spiritual walk? Dads, you are the keepers of the gate of your home. Has your home lost ground spiritually? Maybe we've chosen the pleasures of the world in exchange for our commitment to God. We'll give up on our commitment to God if you, world, will just give us a little more of that pleasure. It happens. The writer of Hebrews says of Moses in Hebrews 11:25. It says, Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Every single day, we have decisions we make. And oftentimes, they come down to this. Is it going to be a pleasure for me? Or is it going to be a glory for God? And Moses is lifted up as a positive example of someone who said this, I'm choosing to suffer the affliction of living for God than compromise and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Folks, Christians can do both. We're the ones that make the choice. When we seek the pleasures of sin, guess who we've given place to? The devil. For the sake of Christ, Moses wasn't going to give ground to the devil. And that should be our commitment too. You say, Pastor Jones, I've already given ground to the devil. You know the great thing about being a Christian is that even though that may happen, by God's grace, you can take it back. You can, by the power of God, be where God wants you to be. But you've got to, first of all, recognize that's where I am. I've allowed the devil to take ground. I've set a place for him. But I want to get to where God wants me to be. Well, by his grace, you can do that. You can renew the spirit of your mind. You can look at the word of God and compare what you're doing to what God expects. And then you can put on the new man. Then you can act like that new man. You can repair. You can rebuild and even begin to build biblical walls to keep that wicked one out of your life, out of your family. He wants your kids. He wants your grandkids. And he'll do whatever he can to infiltrate, to have that influence in him. Dads, we got to be gatekeepers. We've got to watch this. And you say, well, I've never done it before, but I'd like to. Let me tell you this, it won't be easy. It's not easy living for Christ. It's not easy guarding an area that is constantly under assault every single day. But by God's grace, you can do it. You just got to determine to do it, and God will tell you exactly how. If you've allowed this, then God will help you to overcome it. But if you decide to do it, expect a fight. Your flesh and the devil will not like you to set up walls of protection against the devil. They'll want you to keep an open door policy. Let them in. Only good things will happen. That's what your flesh will say. But folks, the fact is, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, we say this often. We are all, if you're a believer in Christ, we're going to stand before God. We're going to give an account for how we lived this life. Right? This is the only life God has given us. He has given us the word of how to live it. We're going to be held accountable for how we do that. And one of the things that we're going to be held accountable for is whether we gave place to the devil or not. May God help us to have that kind of wisdom. Now, maybe you're here today and you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you really have no power except to give the devil place. He's there in your life. The devil is the one that energizes you if you're not saved. You've never believed on Jesus Christ. The only way that you can come out from under that influence and power is by believing that Jesus died for your sins and asking God to save you. And you could do that today if you've never done that before. We would love to be able to help you to know how to do that. If that's your case, when we're done here, why don't you come up and say, hey, look, I'd like to know how I can be sure that if I were to die today, that God would welcome me into his presence. We'd love to show you. But Christian, maybe God has spoken to your heart. Maybe there are areas that he has revealed to you that you've kind of opened the door. You've kind of compromised so as to take in maybe some of the pleasures of sin for yourself. And God is saying, look, you've got to shore that up. You've got to close that up. You've got to put a wall up if you want to glorify me. If he's done that, don't ignore it. Right? Even if you feel helpless to accomplish it, he'll give you the grace to do it. By faith, ask him for the help that you need to do what he wants you to do. And he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. And we would love to be able to help you with that too. Right? That's the whole purpose of our discipleship ministry, our counseling ministry, our fellowshipping together using our gifts. All of that is to encourage each other in our walk with the Lord. And we would love to be able to help you, whatever your need is. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, as we consider our lives, I pray that you would help us, Father, to be more aware of areas that we may have opened the door and actually provided a place for the devil to sin. Lord, I do pray that you would help us to be on guard. Even as Paul says earlier in this chapter, that we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, that we are to be on guard for that unity. Help us, Lord, to be on guard for our lives. I pray for our dads. Our dads are the front line of defense for our families to not give place to the devil. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us as dads, that you would convict us as dads, and that we would see the responsibility you have placed upon our shoulders. But help us to realize, Lord, that that responsibility comes with an amazing amount of grace. And Lord, I do pray that you would help us as a church to achieve that goal, that we would be like Jesus Christ, that we would put you first in all things, that the light of Christ would shine brightly through our lives, through this ministry. If there's anyone here, Lord, that has not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, that in your mercy, that you would draw him or her to yourself, that they might be saved. That, Lord, you would put such an urgency in their heart that they would seek counsel, that we might be able to share with them the truth of your word. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We do pray for our dads that they'd have a good afternoon. Pray that you would bring us all back again tonight as we have opportunity to look into your word, and we will give you the glory for it all. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.